best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320 WILS. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. We will be joined at 10 o'clock by the writer and creator of MLBTradeRumors.com, Tim Dirks, and also at 10:30 by Tony Paul from the Detroit News. We're talking baseball. Opening day just a couple days away. We are giving you your AL Central preview, and we just gave you the Kansas City Royals, and we'll talk now. I want to start with the Cleveland Indians. And Scott, I think what could end up being kind of a positive for the Indians this year, I look at their starting rotation. I think there's some potential there to keep them in games. Now, how they'll do once you get to the bullpen, how they'll do as far as their offense goes, I don't know. But I look at their 1-5 starters, and although they're not fantastic, I see five guys that could have good games. I think Falstar Carmona, who had an excellent recovery season last year after having a 6.32 ERA the year before, he goes for 13-14 with a 3.77 ERA last year. I think Justin Masterson is going to get his legs under him this year. I think he's going to be a much better pitcher. I remember watching him when he was at Boston. He was a great pitcher there, and I think the couple of moves that he's had to make to Texas and now to Cleveland, I think is kind of stunted his growth for a little bit, but I think he will be a much better pitcher this year. Carlos Carrasco is a good pitcher. I think there's some talent there in their starting rotation, Scott.
Yeah, they have Carmona at the top. He can be solid. He's not going to be your
if his
ace.
Sinker is working, Carmona's very dangerous.
Yeah, he always does well against
and
the
I'm
Tigers,
not saying that the Indians are going to win the Central.
Oh, but no,
I'm
just
saying that in games they will be competitive if this starting pitching rotation pans out.
They can, definitely. The pitching, they have the pieces in pitching definitely more than they do in the lineup, and that does help if you're going to steal some wins, because I don't think they're going to score a ton of runs.
No.
But that lineup is pretty brutal.
It's bad, especially Grady Sizemore is going to be out again to start the year.
Well, and I don't know who the backup's going to be, because Trevor Crow is going to start on the DL as
okay.
well.
Okay, all right.
So I have
and
no
he's
clue
the guy that
fielders.
Filled in for the most part. Maybe we can talk to Tim Dirks about that, because, you know, whatever they're going to do in center field, you're also losing your number two hitter. So, you know, I think Sin Soo Chu and Travis Hafner are a pretty solid 3-4 in that lineup. But if you don't have anybody to get on base ahead of that, it's not really going to matter. And Travis Hafner, we've seen in the past, when Hafner has to swing for the fences, okay, when he feels like he has to drive in runs, when he has to take advantage and hit with power, Hafner struggles. I remember the last time when Hafner hit 178 a couple of years ago, the reason was there was no talent in that lineup. And so anytime anybody got on base, Hafner felt like he had to hit a home run. He had to score runs. And so when Hafner starts thinking about that kind of stuff, he gets in trouble with his swing, and he gets in trouble in at-bats. And so I can see Hafner having a rough year if he feels like he has to drive runs home every single time he comes up to bat.
I think he struggled under pressure. He definitely had his best years. He's a big guy, but his best years hitting a lot of home runs happened to be kind of the tail end of what is known as the steroid era. I think most people are familiar with it.
Yes.
So
well, you can just see in his production. I mean,
exactly.
He used to hit between 25 and 30 home runs. Now he's hitting 13 home runs, and it's a good season.
Exactly.
So you can see in his production. One last question about Cleveland I have for you. Can Sin Soo Chu continue to play at the level he's been playing at the last 2 years? Considering how poor their lineup is, can he continue to play at that level? Because he's really all they've got right now.
Yeah, but I think he can. He's a little bit different in that he's more of a five-tool player, where his numbers, his average should stay right around 300, just on the plus side of 300, I would put him at if I had to make predictions. RBIs, I mean, 75-80 would be a good season for him for that. But he's still a good defender. That doesn't affect anything who's around you. He can still steal a couple bases if he has to. He's got that all-around game where I'm confident in his fielding ability.
Yes.
And he's a good enough hitter where it doesn't matter. I mean, the rest
he's
of the numbers...
He's just going to get hit.
Exactly.
He's going to get hit.
So he can hit 300. It's just the other numbers suffer.
Yeah, I can see that. Let's move on to the teams, because I think we both agree it's a three-horse race.
Yeah, if one of those two, the Indians and Royals, if they sneak up into third, I will be absolutely shocked.
I think those are two teams you're looking at 65-70 wins at the most for those two teams, and so I don't think they're going to be competitive, but you do have to talk about it. You do have to talk about which teams and which players on those teams could be threats to the Tigers. Now let's talk about the two teams that are obviously the biggest threats to win the AL Central. First, I want to talk Chicago White Sox. Okay, I look at the White Sox and I look at the players that they've lost. They lose Bobby Jenks to the Red Sox, they lose Scott Linebrink to the Braves, and they lose J.J. Putz to the Diamondbacks. Now, on paper, that looks like you've lost a lot. However, Bobby Jenks has kind of been sliding the last couple of years. Scott Linebrink didn't have a fantastic year. And getting Jesse Crane, I think, offsets losing J.J. Putz, who had a pretty good year last year. Then you have Adam Dunn now on this roster. I'm not sure that the White Sox are not a better team than they were last year, even with losing those players.
Especially because, from what I'm hearing, Matt Thornton's going to be the closer, and they have full confidence in him. And really, it's not like closer was a dominant position for them before. So that gives it to him. Dunn, it's tough. I'm not in love with that guy because I don't like a guy who hits mid-200s and has a lot of home runs.
You don't like Carlos Pena?
No, I said mid-200s. I didn't say 196.
Fair enough.
But I like the guy who you have a little bit more confidence in that he's going to do something a little more often, maybe one out of every three as opposed to one out of every four. But that's still really scary. And when you can put Paul Konerko still out there,
they've got a very dangerous lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, you look top to bottom. Juan Pierre can steal a base anytime he wants to if he can get on base. Carlos Quinton and Paul Konerko have excellent power numbers. Adam Dunn, now you've got a 3-4-5 of Quinton, Konerko, and Dunn, which rivals the Tigers 3-4-5. Then you talk about Alex Rios, who is a guy that I thought they took a big risk in getting because of the contract that they sucked up by getting Alex Rios. But he's paid them back, really. He had a good year last year. 284, 21 home runs. That's a pretty solid year. If he can continue to play like that, now you're solid from 3 through 6. And then apparently Gordon Beckham's supposed to be a pretty good player this year.
Well, he's been that guy who was drafted really high. He was highly touted all throughout, even in the minors. They brought him up maybe a little bit too early, and it kind of affected his development. Yep. He struggled that second half. But he's a guy who should come in near 300. But back of the lineup guy, a 7-hitter, 7-8-hitter, if you're hitting 275, I'm perfectly fine with that.
That's fantastic.
And then Alexi Ramirez, shortstop, there's not a lot of very good shortstops in the league.
Yep.
And last year, 282 with 18 home runs, that's good for... Really,
that's excellent for a player of his size.
Yeah, I mean, that's good for a center fielder. It's a little low for a corner outfielder, but to put him at shortstop and what shortstop has turned into the last 5 years, that's really good. And you're talking 3-4-5. I don't mind having those guys at 6-7 right there to back that up.
Here's what scares me most about the White Sox. When I look at spring training numbers, I don't pay attention to pitchers' numbers at all because they're messing with new pitches and all sorts of stuff like that. But I think you can get a sense of how ready for the beginning of the season a team is by looking at their team averages from lineup top to bottom. And I look at the White Sox, and if you look at their spring training numbers, they're a team that's going to go right from the beginning of the season. They're going to be a team that's going to be at the top of the division right from the beginning and might be chased. Because you look all the way down the lineup. Juan Pierre is hitting 302 in spring training. Alexi Ramirez, 283. Carlos Quinton, 333. Konerko, 293. Alex Rios, 286. Gordon Beckham, 339. All the way down the lineup, everybody is having a good spring training except for Adam Dunn. I mean, even Lasings Milledge, who isn't even technically on the roster yet, is hitting 320. So that tells me that the White Sox are ready to go right now. Then you throw in their starting rotation, which we're going to get to right now, I think is stronger than people think. I see you shaking your head over there. I like their starting rotation, and even if all of them don't have fantastic numbers, top to bottom, it's a very solid starting rotation.
Yeah, but the faces I'm making don't translate well for radio. But, I mean, Mark Burley, it's tough to argue against him. He is a pretty good pitcher. I think he's on the downswing. Nobody had a great season for them last year. Their ERA.
John Danks had a good year.
Yeah, he did. ERAs are a little high. I actually like Gavin Floyd the most out of any of those guys.
I think he's got great stuff.
Yeah, he's got the best stuff by far. But it's just, you've got two big question marks there, in my opinion. Jake Peavy, obviously, he's the biggest one. And I don't have faith in Edwin Jackson. I think I'm one of the few ones. I know a lot of people think he could have a breakout year, but he came back to the AL. It's not like he was lights out as a Tiger. He walks a lot of guys, and that doesn't help.
Here's what I think Edwin Jackson's value is. Edwin Jackson, if you look at his stats over the years, starts out very well, and he tires as the season goes along. And so if you can steal some wins off of Edwin Jackson at the beginning of the year, if he's your fifth starter, and halfway through the season, he's got an ERA in the high threes, even if it jumps into the high fours as the season goes along, with the fifth starter, the damage has already been done. And so Edwin Jackson has good stuff, and he will not be consistent the entire year. But if you can get that good stuff for the beginning of the season, the damage is already done, and I like Edwin Jackson. Jake Peavy is the wild card here, because we all know he's got ace stuff. We all know Jake Peavy has great stuff. But can he stay healthy? That becomes the big question mark with the Chicago White Sox and Jake Peavy. Let's move over to the Minnesota Twins before we have to take a break. I want to talk about them because this is a club that every year we say, I don't think they got it in them. I don't think they're going to do it. And every year they're at the end leading. Now, I look at their roster, and you obviously have some players that are injured, like usual. But you also get Joe Nathan back. I think the biggest question mark with them is this starting rotation. I have a lot of question marks about this rotation, and outside of Lariano, where your consistent wins are going to come from if you're not going to score 7-8 runs a game, Scott.
I think Carl Pavano is an okay second option. I know he's not really thought of too often, but he had a good season last year. If you actually look at his numbers, it was good. But that lineup, I think they're a lot better offensively. The main thing for them is if Justin Morneau can come back and if he can play close to every day to start off the season. Because it's not like a regular injury. A concussion is not the same as somebody who has to have Tommy John's and you know how long they're going to be out. It's whenever he can shake the symptoms or, I mean, if something happens to him, that's a blow because he is an MVP type player. He puts up fantastic numbers. And to put him in with Joe Mauer, who is, depending on how much weight you put into a catcher, the best player in the league. I mean, one of the top three, I would say,
yes,
when you throw in defense and everything.
I don't think you can argue that, yes.
I think they have a lot there. Just middle of the infield is going to be a question. I mean, when you bring in Nishioka from Japan, it's tough to bring anybody in. Ichiro obviously made the transition, but you can look at so many other guys who haven't been able to do it.
Right, but I think if you look at Orlando Hudson and how many errors he had last year, I think that you really can't do much worse at second base than what was happening last year with Orlando Hudson. He did not have a good defensive year. This is what I will say about the Twins. Last year they had depth, so when they had a couple of injuries, they were fine. This year, because of some of the players they've lost to free agency, they are not going to have that depth. So 1-9 in starting rotation, if they were to stay healthy the entire year, this is a good team. But if they have any injuries, it is going to be key injuries, and they're not going to be able to replace these players. Unlike past years where you had guys off the bench that you could bring on, utility players, and you could still play well. I look at this team, and I'm not sure that they have players that could come in and fill in for a guy like Justin Morneau or Joe Mauer if they were to get hurt. Second X factor, Delmon Young has to have another big year. Delmon Young has to continue to work off of what he did last year and provide the power numbers that he did last year. 21 home runs, 112 RBIs. He's got to continue to play like that if the Twins are going to score runs.
Not just that, and I like how I'm going to say the other biggest question. There's a few questions for them, obviously. You throw in closer for them. You don't know exactly what's going to happen if Joe Nathan can come back. But Morneau, I'll say that he's going to be healthy. Maybe Nishioka is okay. Their outfield is normally a staple. You know what you're going to get.
Yep.
But when you throw in Denard Span, Delmon Young, Michael Kadire,
yep,
put up pretty good numbers last year. There's just not much of a sample to go back on.
Yeah. Not to mention, Denard Span, for as many bases as he steals, he doesn't have a great on-base percentage. And so when your leadoff hitter doesn't get on base that much, that's kind of an issue, too. So Denard Span definitely needs to improve that. And the final thing I'm going to say about the Twins is I think they are going to miss Jesse Crane and Brian Fuentes and a lot of these guys that they lost in the bullpen. They don't have near as much depth in the bullpen as they have had in past years. I mean, that was a staple for them for a lot of years, and I don't think they're going to have it this year.
It's so tough because we can say all of this in there's guys we don't know. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. I'm sure they can bring up a minor leaguer, plug him in the outfield. He'll be great defensively, great on the bases, and they'll turn it on in the second half.
It's the Twins. But from what I see on paper right now, those are the issues I see. But while we say that, like I said, it's a three-horse race. Twins, White Sox, and the Tigers, who we'll talk about next. It's coming up next. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.